Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning there was peace, and in the end there will be peace. But what is here and now is war, not a war of money or land, but rather one of spirituality. So as our blood, sweat, and tears begin to blend into the rhythm of the drum, we are faced with one question. Who is willing to die for the light? Are you ready for the war?
Family and listening audience, welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yarao of Beth Yahweh Congregation. And as always, before we start the lesson for the evening, I suggest that you get your Bibles, your concordance, your Bible dictionaries, your notepads, your iPads, your pens, your pencils, highlighters, all those things that you need for a good study. Before we start, we'll start the brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come to this moment to give you praise and give you honor. We thank you, Father, for protecting us throughout the course of this week. We thank thee, Father, for thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King, for all he has done. And for the example that he has laid forth for us to follow. Father, we ask of thee to open our ears to hear the wonders of your word. Open our minds to receive those wonders of your word. And open our desires to perform the wonders of your word. Father, we thank thee for choosing us. We thank thee for opening our ears to hear. And opening our eyes to perceive the truth of your word. We thank thee for your love, your kindness, and your mercy. We pray in the name of Yahushua, our Lord and Savior, and soon coming King. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage. A remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies his Sabbath. Amen. Before we get into the teaching, I would like, if you can hear me, send me a shout out. Let me know if I'm clear or not. And today's lesson is going to be, well, the title of this today's lesson is, Who Do You See in the Mirror? And originally, this title was centered around judgment, judging yourself. But as I put the scriptures together, or the Father led me, it took a different turn. But initially, it was about judging yourself and making sure that you're doing right by the word, and that you're constantly, you know, keeping yourself in right terms with the Father by utilizing his word to be that mirror that you look into. But as you know, like I said, the Father took me into a different direction. And we're going to start with Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. And it reads, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And the Father took me here because this is, you know, and amongst our group, we tend to say those who hunger and thirst for the righteousness of the Father. We use this term, hunger and thirst. So that's what he brought to my mind. And then I looked it up because I didn't really know that it was actually a scripture. And so I threw hunger and thirst into my study dictionary, and bam, led me to Matthew 5, 6, and I'm going to read it again. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." From here, the Father led me to Psalms. Psalm 63, verse 1. And it reads, "Yahweh, you are my mighty one. I will earnestly seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." Psalms 107, verse 9. It reads, "For he satisfies the longing soul. He fills the hungry soul with good." So when looking at that hunger and that thirst, Yahweh will fulfill that hunger and thirst for us. And he did that. And he showed that. He does that for us every day. So from here, we're going to go into something we've said before on many different occasions. But one of the things that, you know, when the Father, you know, took me on this journey through his word, he brought to mind the season in which we, you know, we're in. You know, we're just coming, you know, we're in the, you know, we just come out the, we just celebrate the last of the spring feast last week. And he wanted me to bring back to your mind, just, you know, bring back, you know, put that back on your mind for just a minute, because we're getting ready to go through, you know, go through the summer months, or that intermediate period between the spring feast and the fall feast. But he wanted me to bring to your mind just to remember his son a little bit. And in doing this, he took me back to, you know, the forgotten books of Eden. And in those books, when you read them and when you have knowledge of the Torah, some come clear. So we're going to go to the forgotten books of Eden, chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 6. And it reads, "Yahweh said to Adam, I have ordained on this earth days and years, and thou and they, seed, shall dwell and walk in it until the days and years are fulfilled, when I shall send the word that created thee and against which thou hast transgressed, the word that made thee come out of the garden, the word that made thee come out of the garden, and that raised thee when thou was fallen." I'm going to stop here for a minute. Because if you're familiar with this book, Adam was, you know, he killed himself on several occasions. And the word will go and raise him back up. So this is what's explaining when he was fallen. Verse 2, "Yea, the word that will again save thee when the 5 days and a half are fulfilled. But when Adam heard these words from Yahweh, and of the great 5 days and a half, he did not understand the meaning of them. For Adam was thinking that there would be but 5 days and a half for him to the end of the world. Adam wept and prayed to Yahweh to explain it to him. Then Yahweh, in his mercy for Adam, who was made after his own image and similitude, explained to him that there were 5,500 years and how one would then come and save him and his seed. From here, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 22. And it reads, "You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning." So the Father took me here because this is basically dealing with the first Passover. And when you're dealing with the first Passover, this the Israel or the Hebrews are coming out of Egypt. And, you know, Yahweh talked to Moses and told Moses, this is what you do. You kill his lamb for your household, put the blood on your lintel, and they're going to pass over you. From here, we're going to go to Leviticus chapter 9, verse 7. And it reads, "Moses said to Aaron, draw near to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering and make atonement for yourself and for all the people. And offer the offering of the people and make atonement for them as Yahweh commanded." So we go, Father led me to Leviticus because now Aaron is representing the high priest or that mediator. Because during this particular time, as we know, Moses is Elohim on earth, or representing Elohim on earth, and Aaron is his prophet, or that mediator between him and the people. And what is Aaron doing? Aaron is offering up a sacrifice for his sins, and then he offers up a sacrifice for the people. Now we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26 and 28. And it reads, "For such a high priest was fitting for us, holy, guiltless, undefiled, separated from sin, and made higher than the heavens, who doesn't need like those high priests to offer up sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. For he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men as high priests who have weakness, but the word of the oath which came after the law points a son forever who has been perfected." So when we go to the writer of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews knew of this high priest. And we know this high priest to be Yahushua. Now from here, we're going to go to John chapter 19, verse 28 to 30. And it reads, "After this, Yahushua, seeing that all things were now finished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I am thirsty. Now a vessel full of vinegar was set there. So they put a sponge full of vinegar on hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Yahushua therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So as we know, when we understand what Yahushua did, he made a way to humanity to make it back to his Father, make it back to the kingdom, make it back into that garden. Because what did he do? He was that perfect sacrifice for humanity, so that humanity can make it back into the garden. So when we look into the mirror and we want to be that example here on earth, for as Yahushua's spirit fills us and gives us understanding of the words that we read in the Torah, of the words that he inspired the prophets to write, so that we can understand what we must do as believers in him, and having faith in him, and having faith in what he has done. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. And this is something that Yahushua said to the people before he laid his life down. And it reads, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." See, when we take on Yahushua, when we walk and take on his burden, see, our souls are tormented day in and day out because of the sin that we have inherited. But with him, we can rest from that, because as we grow in him, those sins and that unrestful soul begins to rest. Because now we have the strength to overcome the obstacles that we have within. See, one of the things that, you know, Father just brought to my mind is the introduction song that comes on before this lesson comes in. Are you ready for the war? But we have to understand that the war that we are fighting is not a flesh and blood. It's not about protesting. It's not about getting the guns. It's not about getting those things. I think there's a scripture that states that our weapons of warfare are not carnal. See, because our enemy is not carnal. Our enemy is spiritual. So we have to ingrain ourselves with the tools necessary to deal with that invisible enemy. See, because that invisible enemy is our enemy, the believer's enemy, and the world's enemy. See, but they don't recognize him as being an enemy because he has bamboozled them. But because we study the word, he said, "I will not make you ignorant of his devices." And because we're not ignorant of his devices, we utilize the tools and the armor that the Father gives us. But we can't be distracted. See, because many times throughout the scriptures, the Father tells us, don't be dismayed. Don't get caught up in what the world is doing. Because sometimes when we get caught up in what the world is doing, it lulls us to sleep and causes us to not be keen and aware of what's going on. So from here, we're going to go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And it says, therefore I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of Yah, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to Yah, which is your spiritual service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that what is good, well-pleasing, and perfect will, and perfect will of Yah. See, when we look at Yahushua, the perfect will was for him to lay his life down so that man can have an opportunity to make it back into the kingdom. So man will have an opportunity to know his Father. See, because he did the will of his Father. And he also wants us to do the will of our Father also. And the only way that we can do that is while changing our way of thinking and cleaving more to the invisible and working it out and practicing it in the physical. See, because what's in a man's mind will lead and guide him to do what he what he's going to do. So we've talked in the past about, you know, wanting to do right and wanting to do wrong. Because at the end of the day, it is your choice on who you wish to serve. If you serve Yahweh, you're going to keep his law, statutes, and judgment. And if you don't keep his law, statutes, and judgments, then you're serving the adversary. So from here, we're going to go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 18. And this is one of this is another one of Paul's writing. And it reads, so then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is Yah who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasures. Do all things without murmuring and disputes, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of Yah, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you are seen as lights in the world. Hold up the word of life, that I may have something to boast in the day of Messiah, that I did not run in vain nor labor in vain. Yes, and if I am poured out on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and rejoice with you all. In the same way, you also rejoice and rejoice with me. What comes to mind is last week's lesson when we talked about rejoicing in the midst of a storm, in the midst of being utilized for Yahweh's purpose, so someone can see your faith in him. When we take the, you know, look at the imagery of Yahushua laying his life down, how he didn't murmur, he didn't complain, because he understood this was his lot. So we also have to understand our lot, because if we take on his burden, we take on his yoke, then we understand what our lot is. For the world hated him. And if we love him and are walking in his ways, then they're going to hate us also. They showed that during the time in which he was there, when he was dwelling on the earth. And it wasn't the heathen or the Gentiles that hated him. or showed him hatred. It was his own people. So that's something that we have to be mindful of. That is going to be our own people that's going to show us the most hatred, that's going to dislike us the most, who are going to want to see us dead or see harm brought to us. To rejoice in that. We have to rejoice in that because we understand what the end is. You know, we've learned what the end is. We've learned that the end is to dwell in paradise with the Father, to dwell in that light, to be a part of that light. That is the end. But before we get to that end, we have to put in that work, to put in that work. And from here, we're going to go back to that old choice thing again. Go to Genesis chapter 4, reading verses 3 to 7. And it reads, and this is dealing with the story of Cain and Abel. And it reads, as time passed, and it happened that Cain brought an offering to Yahweh from the fruit of the ground. Abel also brought some of the firstborn of his flock and of its fat. Yahweh respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Cain was very angry. Now I'm going to stop here for a minute. Stop here. And we're going to go back. I'm going to read Romans 12, 1 and 2 again. And it reads, therefore I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of Yah, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to Yah, which is your spiritual service. Do not be conformed to this world, by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the good, well-pleasing, and perfect will of Yah. Verse 5. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. Cain was very angry, and the expression on his face fell. Yahweh said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has the expression of your face fallen? See, that's what the Father does with us. When we are presenting something to him, he talks with us in regards to what we're giving him. He talks to us, and this is what he's doing to Cain. He's talking to him. Verse 7, it reads, if you do well, will it not be lifted up? If you do not do well, sin crouches at the door. Its desire is for you. So one of the things we have to realize that if we don't do well, if we don't present ourselves as a good sacrifice for the Most High, for Yah, sin is sitting there crouching at the door because it wants you, because it's already seen that you are not presenting the best self for the Father. He sees this already. So what is he going to do? He's coming after you because he already seen that you didn't give a good service for the Most High. He already seen that you, he sees what you've done. But then Most High tells Cain this, but you are able to rule over it. See, how do you rule over sin? By doing right. When you present yourself to the Father, do right. Present your best self. Not your 75%, not your 95%, your whole 100%. Do this because you love the Father. That's why we're sacrificing ourselves. That's why we're taking on Yahushua, because Yahushua loved the Father, and the Father loved him. And if we love Yahushua, then we're going to show the same love for the Father. And we're also going to show the same love for ourselves and for those that are around us. Because that's the image that he has shown us. That's the example that he's shown. And that's the thing that we read in the scriptures. We have to choose to want to be a good sacrifice for him and put our best foot forward, our whole 100% into the relationship with the Father, because that's what he's doing with us. That's what Yahushua did for the Father. From here, we're going to go to James chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 7, and then I'm going to read verse 10. And this is going back to understanding that Hasatan, Satan, sin, is after us. It's after us. And it's not after just, it's after us, but it ultimately is after humanity. Because the Father showed humanity something that he didn't show the angels. Or gave the angels. And that's salvation. For goofing up. Giving us an opportunity to repent. And get it right. We can't take that for granted, family. We can't take that for granted, Israel. We can't take that for granted, all listening audience out there. We can't take salvation for granted. Because salvation has been granted to us so that we can make it back. Because humanity is in a different state than it was originally. And that was the whole purpose of why Yahushua came down. See, because we read it in the beginning. Because when Adam goofed up and jacked up, when you read in the lost books, he was sad after the fact. He was very sad and remorseful. Both Adam and Hawa, they was remorseful. But they had to learn. And humanity had to learn. And so we're at a stage in life where we can choose, because we can learn, as Paul said, you know, everything was written before time was written for our learning. See, we have no excuse. We have no excuse. Going back to James chapter 4, verse 7 and 10, and it says, "Be subject, therefore, to mighty ones." So what we do, we have to be subject to the mighty one. And if we're subject to the mighty one, then it says, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Humble yourself in the sight of the mighty one, and he will exalt you. See, because you're subject to him, and you stand on his law, statutes, and judgments, that gives you the power to resist the devil. Resist sin. Resist the adversary. Resist his minions. And they're going to flee from you because they understand the authority that Yahushua has. And if we are little messiahs and Yahushua dwells in us, then what happens? That authority that he has, they see it. And they flee from it. But we have to humble ourselves to the law of statutes and judgments. We have to humble ourselves to the word. We have to humble ourselves just as Yahushua humbled himself. And we will be exalted. It is the word in us that's being exalted, that's being shown forth. Not we as individuals, but that word that dwells within us, that spirit that dwells within us is being exalted in you. So from here, we're going to go to understanding that the Father, or Yahweh, uses us for his teaching, uses us for our own learning. So we're going to go to a couple of scriptures where he chooses people and he uses Hasatan for a person's learning. And it reads, Job chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. And it reads, Yahweh said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Y'all hear that? Yahweh is talking to Satan and saying, hey, have you considered my servant Job? Then he starts to explain about Job. For there is none like him in the earth, blameless and an upright man, one who fears Yahweh and turns away from evil. Now this is Satan talking back. Then Satan answered Yahweh and said, does Job fear the mighty one for nothing? So Yahweh and Satan had a dialogue. But what did Yahweh do? Yahweh offered him up. He offered Job up. And if you read the story of Job, there were some things that Job had to, some things that had to be brought up in Job so that Job could change himself. But the example is that the Father can offer you to Satan for a work, for a purpose, and it's for your good. Then we're going to go to Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 32. And it reads, Yahushua said to Simon, Simon, behold, Satan asked to have you, that he may sift your mind, sift you as wheat. Let me start over. Yahushua said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan asked to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. You, when once you have turned again, establish your brothers. If you're familiar with this story, this is the story where Simon, or Peter, you know, he was boasting, telling the Messiah, you know, I'll die for you, I'm ready. This, he was showing, you know, saying that he was gung-ho. And Yahushua lets him know, nah, man, nah, you're going to deny me a couple, you're going to deny me three times. You're going to deny me, you know. So Yahushua prayed that, you know, after that, you know, this event happens, that his faith would not be shaken. And that he will be have the faith to guide his brothers after that ordeal. So we as believers have to understand that when we say that we want to be a vessel for the Most High, we got to take the good and we got to take the, you know, and if we look at it from man's perspective, we got to take the good and, you know, the good and the bad, the bitter and the sweet, you know, for the learning of Israel, for the learning of the people. See, because we can't show, you know, can't show all good. Got to show a little bad in there also, you know, because that creates the balance. So from here, we're going to go back to the beginning. I'm going to go to Genesis. I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 3. And it reads, "This is the book of the generation of Adam, or Adam. And the day that Yahweh created man, he made him in mighty one's likeness. He created them male, female, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created." This is the beginning, when Yahweh made Adam, and his likeness, and in his image. See, right then, humanity was perfect. But Adam goofed up. And when Adam was disobedient, this would happen. And it says, Adam lived 130 years and became the father of a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. So when we talk about this particular time, see, Adam had procreated, because one of the things that the Most High told Adam to do was to be fruitful and multiply. But he didn't start multiplying until after disobedience, and he was kicked out to God. So when he started having children, these children that he was having was after his likeness and after his image. See, his likeness and image at this point when he started having children was disobedient. And so that's where we are. We have disobedience in our DNA. So that's one of the reasons why in Romans it says renewing your mind. See, we have to renew our mind to that of Adam when he was first created in that likeness and in that image of the Mighty One. But how do we do that? By having faith in the belief in Yahushua. Because the Word said, well, Yahweh said, I'm going to send my Word down, and my Word gonna take on flesh and lay his life down for you. And he did it. And we have to believe that. See, we have the choice to believe it or not. We have the choice to believe it or not. Now, I'm gonna read three over again because it says, verse 3, Adam lived 130 years and became the father of a son in his own likeness and after his image, and named him Seth. So I looked Seth up, and that is 8352 in your Hebrew lexicon. And it means substitute. When we look at who's he a substitute for, going back to the original, go back to, when we go to Genesis chapter 4, he's a substitute for Abel. See, because Abel, as we know, did righteously, whereas Cain didn't. So Seth became a substitute. So this is the line in which the Father utilized to make sure that that righteous line stay intact. And I looked the term up, substitute, up in the dictionary. And it's an act or serve as a substitute. Replace someone or something with another. See, and that's where we are. When you look in the mirror, do you see yourself as a substitute for righteous Abel? You see yourself as a substitute for foolish Cain? Do you look in the mirror and do you see yourself as a representative of Yahushua? Or do you look in the mirror and see yourself as a substitute for foolish Adam? So, family, we have to understand the importance of Yahushua. Understand the importance of renewing our mind and being obedient to His word, to His truth. And as many times we've said, do you really believe in the words of the Torah? Do you really believe in the words that our forefathers wrote down? Their ups, their downs, and their turnarounds. Their obstacles that they went through. You know, as we read these stories, or this history, they ain't stories. We need to come to realize they're not stories. This is history. And this is our history. As those who are striving or going back to the beginning, those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know, this those who have that desire for the word of truth. Those who have the desire to want to please the mighty one. Just as our Lord and Savior and Redeemer did. As we read in the scriptures how it said how he pleasure in bruising Yahushua. Because he understood why he was doing it. Do we understand why we're serving the Most High? Do we? Do you? Ask yourself that question. Because you don't want to be doing this, as we read in the scripture earlier, and in vain. You don't want to be doing it in vain. You don't want to be doing this because you think it's the right thing to do right now. Serving Yahweh is not a trend. But sometimes people look at it as a trend. Trends come and go. But Yahweh said, I'm forever. His law is forever. And His law dwells in us. And we say that we going to live forever in that spirit. So family, when you look in that mirror, our goal is to see Yahushua. We are supposed to be that living word, just as He is, that living word. He lives in us. We are supposed to be that living sacrifice each day. When we lay down and He gives us an opportunity to wake up again, that's another opportunity to get it right. That's another opportunity to allow the light of Yahushua that dwells within you to shine brightly. It's another opportunity to plant that seed of righteousness. It's another opportunity to speak His words into existence. It's another opportunity to get rid of the foolishness that dwells within us. Is one of the things we say around the camp, getting rid of those isms and schisms that we have within ourselves. And what we read earlier, that disobedience that came when Adam failed to listen, failed to comply with what was told to him. So we have no excuse. We have no excuse. And if you make an excuse, that's because you choose to make an excuse for why you don't choose not to do something. You choosing not to serve the Most High. So family, once again, just remember this feast, this season that we're just coming out of. Just remember what Yahushua has done for us. Remember, as we count that Omer for those 7 weeks, we're counting, and that's our lifespan as a those 7 days. Every day that we live, another day for us to get rid of that sin. Get rid of that sin. And be a good loaf. We're not going to be perfect, but that doesn't mean we can't strive to be perfect. You can strive to be perfect. And that's why Yahushua is there, to help us. That's why the Torah is here, to help us. That's why those that are standing in his word are here, to help us. We are here to help one another, because we are one in Yahushua. We are one in spirit. We tend to use the term family. Family represents a whole group. This ends the lesson for the day. Just want to go back to the title. Who do you see in the mirror? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to come before you and thy people. Father, I thank thee for your word and for your truth. Father, I thank thee for thy son, Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior, Redeemer, soon coming King. And as we prepare to enter into thy Sabbath day, Father, we ask of thee to continue to open our minds to the wonders of your word. Incline our ears to hear the truth of your word. We ask of thee, O Father, to continue to strengthen humanity, continue to give humanity an opportunity to know who you are. Continue to help thy saints that you have chosen to minister your word and to be an example for the world. Continue to give them the opportunity to share your word with the nations. Continue to give them an opportunity to share your word with your people. Father, we thank thee for your love that you have shown us, that you will show us. We thank thee for the blessings that you've given us, both in the past, in the present, and in the future. May your word continue to cleanse us, Father. Cleanse us. May you continue to strengthen us and give us good courage. May we continue to take on Yahushua in the Spirit so that we can overcome the adversary. Father, we thank thee once again for giving us an opportunity to sup with you and to be with you on this Sabbath day. May we continue to be worthy of you. May we continue to agree with you. May we continue to hold on to thy son, Yahushua. And help us not to be dismayed. Help us to use that shield of faith to deflect the distractions and the foolishness of this world. Father, we ask of thee to continue to protect the sick, heal the sick, strengthen those who need strengthening, comfort those who need comforting, and help those who need to turn back to you. Turn back, giving them the realization that your hand is always there and that you never left them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I pray on behalf of our household and all Israel, in the name of Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with peace. Shalom, Israel. May you all have a peaceful slumber. Hallelujah.
Heavenly voices. Heavenly voices, speak to me. Heavenly voices.